Most of us have probably not thought through today's topic in this level of detail before. I'm going to start by actually giving you the outline for the next 2 weeks. The reason I'm doing this is because I want you to be able to follow along with where I'm going. Otherwise, it would just be a bunch of history and theology about the word, and you may be confused. So I'm going to give you these in question form to start. You don't have to necessarily write these down. It's just to kind of get us thinking about where we're going for the next 2 weeks. Who was referred to as the first Adam? This is an out loud question and answers. We all know. Adam. Adam as in Adam and Eve, okay? Who is the last Adam? Jesus. This isn't too complicated yet, right? We're doing pretty good. What was Adam's sin?
A woman.
I heard disobedience, and I'm going to ignore the other. Disobedience. I'm not going to give this as a question, but to get you thinking, because this would be a very vague question if I were to ask it, I'm going to argue over the course of the next 2 weeks that Jesus' ultimate fulfillment of being the type and shadow as relates to the first and last Adam was that he was obedient to the Father. Okay, next question. Who was Adam's helpmate? Not a trick question. Who is Jesus' bride that he is to marry forever? What was Eve's sin? What was Eve's sin? Ah, trick question. It's not really a trick question, but it is in the Bible. We are going to get to it. And this one is rhetorical. I'll leave you that thinking about this one. This is a rhetorical question. As we get started this morning, you can turn to Genesis chapter 3. What is the bride or the church's ultimate act of fulfillment as relates to the typology of Eve and the church? Genesis chapter 3 this morning. First off, the Bible never states that Adam's sin was worse than Eve's. Both were punished for their sin. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is alive, it's living, it's active. It teaches us, Father, all things through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. We thank you this morning, Father, that we have the opportunity to open it and to learn about you. Lord, we ask that our minds and our hearts and our ears would be open to receive from you this morning, that we would be changed and look more like your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. For sake of time, I'm not going to read through all of this morning. You are likely familiar with the sin and the account. It's all here in Genesis chapter 3. In verse This is 8 through 13, the Lord comes to Adam and Eve and he's questioning them, what have you done? And then from 14 to 16, he dishes out the consequences for the actions to both the serpent and to Eve. We're going to pick up in 17 first with the consequences to Adam's actions. Okay? In fact, the Bible says that there are two specific reasons that Adam receives a punishment. We already talked about disobedience, but I want to point your attention to draw it to what the scripture has to say. The beginning of 17 says, then to Adam, this is God speaking to him, then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. I'm going to stop there. No, this is not going to be a politically correct message. I did not pick the Mother's Day as a particular reason, but I do want to focus on this, and I promise you over the next 2 weeks it will all come together and make sense. Adam was created from the dust of the earth. Eve was created from a rib taken from Adam. You can find this in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis, I believe, makes it very clear that Adam, or the husband, was created to be the leader in the marital relationship, and that his wife was to be his helpmate. Genesis 2:18. I don't think any of this so far is a surprise to anyone. And as the leader, Adam, his responsibility was to protect and provide for his family. His leadership role was further demonstrated when God comes and he spoke to Adam first. He says in chapter 3, he said, "Where are you?" was the first thing he asked. And then he asked him, "Why? Who told you you were naked?" And Adam began to point fingers and blame this woman that God gave to him. It was because of this leadership role that God ordained in husbands in marriage that Adam as a leader of the family, was held responsible not only for his sin of eating the fruit of the tree, but also because he did not provide the proper protection necessary for his wife and allowed her to walk into a place of sin. Paul affirms the headship of the husband. You can read about this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Colossians 3, 18 as well. Peter also confirms this teaching in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6. All talk about and affirm the headship of the husband. So Adam's sin, as God says, you have listened to the voice of your wife. And I believe the first part of his sin lay in his willingness to listen to his wife and be tempted. His second part is the disobedience to God, which we are all familiar with. The rest of the verse says, because you have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. God goes into the curse or the punishment for his sin in the next couple of verses. What's the first thing we see about God the Father in Genesis chapter 1? God the Creator. What's the next attribute or thing we see about God the Father? You didn't know you were going to have to think during this message. Sorry, should have given you a warning. God the Lawgiver. God gives one command to Adam. Let's look back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. God's moral law is written on the hearts and the minds of all mankind, because we have been made in the likeness and the image of God. This divine lawgiver is God, and sin is anything and everything that we do that is contrary to his will. Anything that is in disobedience to the perfect will of God is sin. So Adam was given one specific law to obey, and he chose disobedience. Because of that, Adam is held accountable, because he is a living, he's the father of all living things, and he had a leadership responsibility in that role. As for the sin itself, they both had committed disobedience. I'm not denying that. They both disobeyed God. But what I want to focus on for the foundation of this message and in leading into next week is the consequences the consequences for the disobedience is different, but ultimately they're punished for different things. It is very important, I believe, that we understand this, or else we are likely to miss a very important type and shadow of what the church is supposed to be to Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. This is what we're setting up for the next 2 weeks. The Bible clearly says in Romans chapter 5 that as the result of Adam's sin, sin came into the world. Does not say that because of Adam and Eve's sin. You can turn there if you'd like, but I do have some slides here for you to look at. Romans 5:12 says, sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. And then over the next few verses in 15 through 19, it's reaffirmed six more times. Many died through one man's trespass. 16, the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. The judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. Because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. One trespass led to condemnation for all men. By the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. I think Paul's trying to get a point across. It's very clear as I read this that Adam was held responsible for bringing sin to the world in a different way than Eve was. I'm not going to argue about the impunability of sin, the original sin, whatever term you're used to. We inherited our sinful nature because of the mistake that Adam made. That's period. It is not that Eve did not sin. It is not that her actions have no interest for us. They do, and that's what we're getting to for the next 2 weeks. But again, she received a different punishment for committing a different transgression. And it is on that I want to focus on this morning. If you're still in Genesis chapter 3, I want you to look at the punishment here as it comes to Eve. Verse 13, then the Lord God said to the woman after she got blamed by her husband who did not protect her, What is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. I want you to notice very quickly between the transition of verse 13 and 14 that God did not deny it. That God didn't turn to the serpent and say, why did you do this, or did you do this? That he acknowledged that there was actually deception from the serpent to Eve that went on. And because of that deception, he cursed the serpent. And then he very smoothly transitions to the woman in verse 16 to deal out the punishment for the transgression. So first and foremost in this passage in Genesis 3, I want you to notice and take note that God did not deny that she was deceived. 1 Timothy 2:14 also supports this. I warn you that this may not be a comfortable message this morning. Teachings like this, I believe, grate on modern ears, but it does not make these elements untrue. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you would turn there this morning, I believe this is an important piece of the foundation over the next 2 weeks. And in striving to differentiate between Eve's sin and Adam's, I want us to see from this text directly. A moment or two before eating of this forbidden fruit, Eve expressed the understanding from God's command not to eat. Whether that came from God at a later time directly to her, or whether it came from Adam to her, whatever you want to believe, it's important that she actually expressed some knowledge that her actions were in direct disobedience to what God had told Adam to do. So she disobeyed, yes. But she was not cursed for disobedience like Adam was. 1 Timothy 2, let's start in verse 12. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So as not to get into debate this morning about how strictly to interpret Paul's instructions or whether some of these things were cultural that can be adjusted, this morning what I really want to focus on is the theological reason behind the differences of Adam and Eve's sin. Adam disobeyed and listened to his wife. Eve deceived. Remember, this is going to be a type and shadow for Christ Jesus and his church, the bride. Paul begins by saying that Adam was formed first, followed by Eve, and thus, in my opinion, confirms the headship of the husband. And of the fact of her deception, Eve herself, we know, had already confessed to it, for she said in Genesis chapter 3, 13, the serpent tricked me, and so I ate it. Secondly, when we're looking at Eve's sin, realize that being deceived does not excuse a person. Adam, in my opinion, was supposed to cover her and tell her not to do that. That's involved and wrapped up in the headship of a husband. Where he was, we don't necessarily know. Some believe that he was gone off somewhere else and the serpent caught her while she was alone. I don't really know, and I don't really know if it matters that much, but I believe Adam was responsible to some degree in this. But it did not mean she's not responsible for some consequences. And I want to point out in Scripture why deception does not excuse a person with some other verses. Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. It says, beware lest your hearts be deceived, and you turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Though people are deceived and worship false gods, there is no excuse for them on the day of judgment. Deception is not one of those sins that's just automatically forgiven just because. But there's, in fact, when I'm reading through the Bible, deception is not just ignored, but I think that there's even more of a consequences in some cases. Let's look at another one, Romans 7, 9 and 11, 9 through 11. And I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. That Paul is actually personifying sin in such a way, but take notice, he's saying that sin deceived him and it actually killed him. That there's the deception part of sin actually brought death. So being deceived still kills. Ephesians 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That sounds pretty direct to me. Do not be deceived, because the wrath of God. Even when people are deceived, the full consequences of what deception are dished out to those who are deceived. Then according to Romans chapter 5, why is Adam blamed for the sins of the world? Hint, it must have to do with his master plan. Adam is a type of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. I believe I'm going to let you get away with this being the last place to turn. You still following? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's start in verse 21. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Skip down to verse 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. Adam was the first man. Jesus, the last Adam. Just as sin and death came through one man, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it is also through one man, Jesus Christ, that grace and righteousness are given as free gifts. The naming of Christ as the last Adam in the multiple comparisons between the first Adam and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, would be invalid and nonsensical if the sin came through the earth, came to all of us through Adam and Eve. It's important for God to reveal his master plan through these types and shadows. And so we must understand that there's this high calling that he has on Adam, but it's pointing to Jesus Christ and the grace that we will soon receive, soon as in if we were in Genesis, through Jesus Christ on the cross. Let's bring out this typology and compare Adam and Jesus a bit more. First, they both had a miraculous beginning. We talk about Jesus being perfect. He was without sin. He was holy. He was innocent. He was pure. But I think we often forget that Adam was also created holy and perfect and pure. That he received sin because of eating of the forbidden fruit. This opened up his mind to the knowledge of good and evil, and he became a sinful man, and we all receive this sinful nature through him. But he was created perfect by God in his image, in his likeness, directly from the dust of the ground. And God personally breathed life into his nostrils, giving him this perfect spirit. He became a living soul, Genesis chapter 1. The Bible tells us also that at the last Adam, Jesus Christ, had a special beginning. But Jesus was with God when the world was created, wasn't he? Yes. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. So Jesus was pre-existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit before Adam even lived. But Jesus as man, in all his humanity too, had a miraculous beginning. He came to the earth. He was incarnated as man, born of a Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is why the virgin birth is of utmost importance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it was only by a perfect and miraculous birth that Jesus could be free from sin. They were both perfect, innocent, and holy. Adam was created perfect, in full possession of all human faculties, with God consciousness, which enabled him to have spiritual communion with God. He walked with God in the cool of the day. because he stood before God holy and righteous. He was innocent, initially innocent and sinless. He had this right relationship to God, to Eve, to the natural world all around him. The last Adam, Jesus, was also perfectly man, one with God. He was innocent and sinless and holy, Hebrews 7:26. Many people mistakenly refer to Jesus as the second man, or the second Adam. The Bible nowhere calls him the second Adam. They call him the last Adam. He was the second man. Why? Because he was only the second person to ever walk this face of the earth and to be born without sin. So the Bible clearly calls him the second man. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it's verse 47. But this last Adam, Jesus Christ, walked the earth perfectly. Thirdly, they were both givers of life. First Adam gave life to all his descendants. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, communicates life and light to all men. He gives eternal life to those who receive him and believe on him with their whole heart. They were both given authority. Adam, representing mankind, was given dominion over all of the created world. Yes, it was limited in that sense. And after being raised from the dead, Jesus Christ was elevated to God's right hand. He was given dominion over all things, which were put under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:27, Ephesians 1, verse 20. The first Adam was Lord over this limited domain. Jesus Christ received all authority in heaven and on earth. They both went through a deep sleep that produced a beautiful bride. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that God put Adam into a deep sleep. While Adam was sleeping, he took out his rib and formed Eve from him. Jesus died on the cross, his side pierced by a spear. And after his side was wounded, and he was 3 days in the grave in this deep sleep, the church was formed out from his wound. Not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, the church would become holy without blemish. Now to Eve and the typology this morning as we wrap up. Again, I'm going to leave you hanging. The Bible in Genesis 2:18 said it was good that for a man not to be alone. And I concur with that. Not only because my wife is beautiful, but because I've tried to be a bachelor before and it didn't go well. It is not good for a man to be alone. I believe this not only applies to Adam, but also applies to the last Adam. Christ is eternally and absolutely perfect. Yet he is not complete without the church as his bride. Adam is a type of Christ. Eve is a type of the church. This is what a type and a shadow is. It's a picture of. It's a foretelling of. It's the God is hinting at part of his master plan is that as Adam, the first Adam, is going to be a symbol and point you to my son, Jesus Christ, as a savior of the world, so Eve is going to point to the church in her duty here on this earth. That's next week's message. Now everyone wants to come back, right? Okay. After God created man, he didn't stop there. He realized that even though man was in the image of God, his expression, he still needed a counterpart, a wife. Eve, as a counterpart of Adam, was planned by God before the foundation of the world. Eve was not an afterthought. God could have absolutely made Eve and Adam both out of the dust of the ground and everything been just fine. But he specifically went out of the way to make Adam and realize that there was a piece missing to point us to Jesus Christ and what was to happen in the New Testament. Eve was planned before the foundation of the world in the very same way that the church was planned before the foundation of the world. The church to be the helpmeet of Christ, the counterpart of Christ, the other half of Christ. God has been longing to find a counterpart for his only begotten Son, Jesus. Matthew 22, verse 2. And so as Eve was a part of Adam's body, as his counterpart, I believe the church is part of Christ's body, is Christ's body, the counterpart to him, to match and complete him perfectly. Ephesians chapter 1. We have the same life and nature and character as Christ, just as Eve had the same life and nature and character as Adam, taken from him. Eve was Adam's reproduction, Adam's duplication in that sense, signifying that the church is Christ's reduplication or duplication of whom he is. John 3, verse 6 and John 12, 24. Eve, presented by God the Father to Adam as his bride, as his wife, just as the church will be presented to Christ as a spotless bride in the last days. Eve came from Adam, was joined to him, becoming one flesh with him. This is a type of the church coming out of Christ and being joined to him with the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. As Eve was Adam's multiplication, his increase, his fullness, his expression on earth, the church is the counterpart of Christ, is to be the increase, the fullness, the expression of Christ here on earth. It is now apparent from all of eternity, in my opinion, that God did not create the church as an afterthought because man failed, that, I better come up with a backup plan and send my son. And he said, okay, well, now my son's alone. What am I going to do for him? I better create a church. That from the very beginning, before Adam was even formed, God had a plan and said, I am going to send my son, Jesus Christ, to die, and I'm going to form a beautiful, spotless church out of his side. So from all of eternity, it's not a story of the failure of man. From all eternity, before the foundation of the world, we are not to focus on Adam's faults, but we're supposed to focus on the love story being told from heaven. I believe romance is at the heart of the universe. And guess what? We've been invited to the wedding. And not only have we been invited to the wedding, we are to be the bride of Christ. As I said, I'm going to leave you abruptly, but just as a quick review this morning. Curtis, would you come up and we'll just close out with... Actually, the worship team can come up. We'll close out with a song. The first Adam was Adam in the beginning. Jesus Christ, the last Adam. Adam's sin was twofold. Listening to his wife and being led astray, but also in disobedience. But I would argue, for the purpose of this typology, and we will focus in on this next week, that Jesus Christ fulfilled the greatest undoing of Adam's disobedience by his ultimate act of obedience. Adam's helpmate Eve also represents as a type the church of Jesus Christ. That is us who we are to marry forever. We're going to focus next week on exactly what our role as the bride is here on the earth. How we can be a fulfillment of this perfect type and shadow of all that God has been planning from before the foundation of the world.